Blog Talk Radio.
Yay!
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Happy 1 year anniversary.
Yes.
For Weed Day Wednesday. This is awesome. I've been looking forward
awesome
to this.
We have an awesome show today, too.
For a year. Hoping we get to the next week, even. So, 52 weeks later. Right?
We're
Did
here.
I do that right?
56.
Are we
Isn't
in school?
It 56 weeks later?
50. How many weeks are
in
a year?
56 in a year.
52. 52. Well, Waco.
I actually add a little bit more.
Cannabis Kid likes to embellish on his time in life. He thinks he has 48 hours in a day.
It's true.
So maybe his weeks add
Sometimes
up to 56.
It feels like 48 hours in a day. By the time I get home, I'm worn out.
Oh, that is for sure. Well, here, let's do this again. I like this little thing. Didn't go off. Never mind.
No kids
it was a little kids cheering. Welcome to Weed Day Wednesday, everybody.
Well, there they
there
are.
There we go. Good timing, kids.
Well, that's great.
Welcome to Weed Day Wednesday. Happy anniversary. And we are just beyond excited to be here. We have an incredible show today. We've got just some amazing people in our audience today. Lady Luck is here with her flashing green
How's
light.
How's it going?
We're
going
to have to make you take those off in a second.
I know. I only turned them on
seizure.
For a little bit. They're a little striking.
They are, but they're
I
awesome.
I had to
Look
go for
that.
Striking, but still.
Well, you are striking without those. We have four amazing guests today. We've got Urban Rosenfeld, Doug Fine, Robert Platshorn, and Ivan Arch. I have been threatening for an entire year to get this guy on the radio show. Ivan is the author of Hempathy, and he is in Switzerland. Hi, Switzerland.
They're
getting ready for dinner right about now. But he's over in Switzerland. He's going to call in a little bit. Actually, what we need to do for me right now is grab my computer cord. I'm so sorry. Look at that. Tech guy. He failed.
Uh-oh.
He knocked over the water. You didn't plug my computer in. You're fired! It'll never... Look, he's excited. This is Tech Guy's anniversary, too, because 1 year ago today, he hijacked our show. He helped hijack the show with the other hijacker host, Heidi Hanford, from Patients Out of Time. We started this show and had no idea what we were doing. We were using a whole different program, and we since switched because that program failed. See, it wasn't me.
No, it wasn't.
Well,
no, we knew that program had some flaws
had
in
some
it.
Some glitches. So we started the program, and we had a different tech guy here, and obviously the tech guy knew. He must have known we were doing things wrong because we couldn't host our own show.
Right.
We called in. And I think we kept muting and unmuting ourselves.
There were some glitches. There was always some...
Static,
yeah.
All sorts of stuff. Eventually, what happened was Tech Guy and Heidi Hanford came in and took over the show, thank God, because we had no idea what we were doing or what we were even talking about. I still don't know if we know what we're doing or what we're even talking about.
That was going to be my question. Do we know now?
A year later? No.
One of the audience members just brought in donuts.
Oh, my goodness.
I can't even talk about
it. And for this two-hour show. Woo-hoo! Look at that, kids. Donuts to boot.
Oh,
there's your healthy breakfast for the morning. We started the show a year ago to talk about medical cannabis. Tumbleweeds Health Center had just opened their health center about a month prior to that. November.
And then
a couple months prior to that.
And got started on the radio show in March.
Yeah, and the show started March. And at that time, what was going on in Arizona? Tumbleweeds Health Center opened a year after the program itself had actually started.
Right.
So people had been getting their certifications and really seeking information about
what this was all about.
Yeah, what this program was about, the Arizona Medical Marijuana Act. And not that we're experts on it we do know a little bit about it. It changes constantly.
We know more than the common Joe.
I think so. The common Joe.
Or Jane.
Or Jane or Joe. Or
whoever.
Jesus.
I think we do. I think we do pretty good on the information that we get out to the community.
I think we do, and that's why we started. It was really fun. We had a crazy first couple of shows because we still had no idea what we're doing, and thank God Tech Guy showed up out of the kindness of his heart to apologize, to say, I can make funny hats on air and you can't. He's got one now. Dang it, where's the camera? Oh, we missed it. But he came by to apologize, and I said, oh, good, you're here. Get in here. We're going to have another show. You need to do this.
Doesn't it always work like that?
It does. It absolutely does. The magic happens when you need it the most. So we've been doing this for a whole year, talking about everything that we can and still try to find. So we're getting donuts passed around to us. Sorry, there was a little pause of which one do I want? I went glazed with chocolate. Thank you very much, Donut Lady.
So if you're new to Weed Day Wednesday, welcome.
Welcome.
We're Tucson's, Arizona's number one. Number one online podcast about all things medical cannabis. And I'm your host, and so is Belle.
Star, the cannabis kid.
We will have strain reviews, interviews.
Product reviews. News.
And information about everything and anything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona.
And the world at large.
That's my favorite.
We've got people calling in, blogging in from the Netherlands. We've got a caller. Ivan's calling in from Switzerland today, so we are literally worldwide.
We are.
We've done it.
The Netherlands.
The Netherlands. I love it. 23,000 plus listeners. And we would like to thank our token girl for showing up. Buenos dias. And Tumbleweed Health Center for really helping to inspire this great show, to host the show, and to have a beautiful health center for
people. That's why I'm on the show.
It is. It's exactly
right. I actually started coming to Tumbleweeds about a year ago. March 8th was my first time at Tumbleweeds.
Wow.
Your first? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. Well, happy anniversary to you. Look at that. And here you are, hosting, hijacking the show.
Hosting and hijacking.
So, Tumbleweeds Health Center, thank you very much, Tumbleweeds Health Center,
for
hosting our shows and giving
great information on
great
the
information
website
and certifying the great patients of Arizona. We've had a lot of people come to Tumbleweeds to get certified. And today is our 1 year anniversary radio show. So along at Tumbleweed, you'll find certifications, classes, lectures, demonstrations, medication, and all things educational related to medical cannabis. Awesome. So let's just see here.
Check us out on Facebook at Tumbleweeds Health Center and their website, www.tumbleweedshealthcenter.com.
Hey, guess what?
What?
One of our original hijackers is on the line. We're going to say good morning right now.
Good morning.
Are you there?
Right. Yeah, I'm still laughing about the hijack story.
All right.
Yeah. Cause
how are you? Heidi Hanford, everybody.
Good.
Morning, Heidi.
Hi. Good morning. How are you guys today? Congratulations. 1 year.
Oh,
yay.
Thanks so much. Yeah. We're really excited. We were hoping to get to that next week.
I don't have to hijack anything today, do I?
No, you're good.
Okay, good. Got it all figured out now.
Yeah, no, we did, kind of. What's going on? Where are you? Are you in Florida?
I am in Florida, and we actually have two bills in the State House, the House bill and the Senate bill, both of them regulation bills. The one that I'm working on with Florida Cannabis Action Network, anybody out there, please sign up at flcan.org.
Awesome.
We are working on Senate Bill 1250, sponsored by Senator Jeff Clemens. So hopefully we'll see some resolve there and find some relief for the patients of Florida with some proper legislation and regulation. It is a seed-to-sale tracking bill. So hopefully that'll take off. And I'm the resolutions coordinator for Florida Cannabis Action Network to help make that happen here. So
Excellent. Hey, I have a question for you. It just stemmed out of something you said. So politically, if you want to find out in the state that you live in, the county, the district you live in, who your representatives are, is there a way for people to do that easily, Heidi? I know that Robert Platshorn had something on his website when he was as he was launching the Silver Tour. You could, like, you put in your zip code and it tells you who all your state
exactly.
reps are. Where is that?
Yes.
What's that site? How do we do that? We need to get people political.
Well, we do have that capability through flcan.org, which is why
okay.
I encourage everybody, no matter where you are, to sign up for that. Because whenever we do a call out there, in our call out, it asks you to put in your zip code and your information to find out who your reps are. So any of the call outs we do with FLCAN, you can also call for action in your own state by participating with FLCAN, because it'll direct you to your legislators, not ours in Florida. So that's
right.
One way. Another way is through Project Vote Smart. If anybody goes to Project Vote Smart, you can go on to there and find out who your representatives are as well. But it's
awesome.
Always nice to have a group in the lead to help you form your letters or figure out the message that you're trying to say and that kind of stuff. Because a lot of people don't know how to approach their politician. Or if they're in a non-medical state, they're afraid to approach their politician because they're
right.
afraid that their neighbors, their friends, their relatives may point at them and go, oh, look, it's another pothead.
Right.
So, you know,
right.
there's a lot of fear with it there. And that's why when we have the big group like that, we can help them work through that and counsel them on how to direct their message to their politician. They don't have to indicate themselves. They can very well now go, hey, there's 18 other states out there, or is it 19 now?
Yeah.
And
counting.
They have it. How come we don't?
Ah.
And then one thing I've noticed that I've been watching in Arizona, I was going to ask you guys about, that kind of really scares me, is they're looking to turn you guys backwards, like what happened in Montana.
Right.
Right.
Yes. How's that going, and how's the effort on that?
You know what? I think there is still some effort there, but I think also there are enough patients and advocates now that are speaking out. They've taken polls in the state of Arizona that shows like 79% of the people here just want to legalize it anyway. So
right.
I think that they're going to be very careful what they put on the ballot and what they don't. They're going to be very careful how and when they do that, because, you know, they stand also to have it dismissed the minute it's put up if they don't do it right. So I think that, you know, we need more patients out there to find their reps and contact them.
Right. Now, I do have a gift for you guys. It's not a monetary gift. It's a gift of knowledge for your one-year anniversary.
Oh, love it.
And I hope you'll take these research studies and use them to your advantage in Arizona to help you win your fight. I'd like you to write this down, and please go to this website, dmarkanderson.com. And that's D as in dog, and then markanderson.com. It's a researcher from Montana who has worked on various studies with researchers in Colorado as well as Oregon on multiple studies regarding medical marijuana. Now, the one study I have in front of me is, I'll just give you a little history here. D. Mark Anderson is a Department of Agricultural Economics and Economics at Montana State University. So he's been a researcher there for some time. Now, he did studies on the one that I have in my hand right now, is High on Life, Medical Marijuana Laws and Suicide, where they show that suicide rates decrease in states with medical marijuana laws. Another study they have shows that teen usage actually decreases in states with responsible medical marijuana laws. So if you go to that website and go to his research, you'll find a lot of tools there. He also did a driving fatality study in states with medical marijuana laws, as well as a DUI DNG level study.
Oh, awesome.
So all of these studies you need to whip out and throw them at your politician. They're
Absolutely.
Critical to us, and they support patients. And, you know, the industry is great and everything, but what happens is we have a lot of patients that are out there scattered, shot around, and they don't know what to do.
That
they don't know how to deal with things.
Right.
You know,
right.
And they get overwhelmed very easily. So, you know, that's some tools to give them.
Yeah, that's
so
awesome.
They can read that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
we'll definitely.
Happy anniversary.
Oh, thank you so much. And we, our very first official guest for the show today, you know very well, Irvin Rosenfeld.
Uh-huh.
He's going to be on in just a moment. I think he's on hold right now, too. And he is a pioneer in the ways of getting out and contacting the authorities to be, you know, the higher-ups, your government, and patient advocates.
Well, and that's another tool right there with Irv. I'd really like to encourage people. His book is a wonderful tool to lobby with, and I cannot stress enough to people. Right now, Irv is, well, I'll let him tell the whole story about going to Maryland. I don't want to take anything away from him on that. But we'll let him tell the story. But I will say this. They got a box of books, and they're handing them out to their politicians, which is exactly why he wrote the book, was to help effect change and get it into the hands of politicians. So, you know, talk to him more about that when you bring him on. But we're both just tickled to death to see a full box of books being used in the state capitol in Maryland.
Oh, nice. Absolutely. That's great. Well, we're going to have him on in just a moment. Heidi, do you want to hold on a little bit with us?
Yeah, I'll just stay up. You can mute me and I'll just listen.
Well, you stay right there because we might just unmute you.
Okay.
Hold on,
I'll be listening.
All right. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for that gift, too. Yeah. Everybody.
Thank you, Heidi.
DMarkAnderson.com. Did we put that on our chat yet? There it is. It's up on the chat. Check that out. And you know what? We're going to contact them and get them on air as well, the beauty of radio. So hold on one moment. And I think that if I'm correct in technology, we have Irvin on the line.
Yes, you do. Good morning.
Oh,
good morning,
Irvin. How are you? Welcome.
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you very much.
Welcome back, actually.
True. That's true. Yes. Glad to be back.
Thank you. We're so honored that you're here. How's everything going for you?
Good. Doing well. I'm just getting ready to fly to Maryland tomorrow morning, God willing, with the weather as bad as it's going to be there.
Oh, wow.
I'm supposed to be meeting tomorrow afternoon at 2:30 with the Speaker of the House for Maryland, a private meeting. And then at 4 o'clock, I have a press conference up there. And then Friday, I'm speaking before two committees. Hopefully to educate and hopefully to get medical cannabis available in the state of Maryland.
That's awesome. Good. Thank you for doing that. Thank you on behalf of the whole country, you know, and the planet, really. The more people that are doing this stuff like you, how are you going to talk to these people, convince these people? What are you going to say to them that they haven't heard that's going to make them open their minds and change them?
Right. First of all, again, there's argument about the federal government not being supposedly in favor of it, and it goes against federal law. And I point out that same federal government has been giving me marijuana for cannabis, medical cannabis, for over 30 years. I mean, it's getting ready to go on a third of a century. And that if there's any harm to this product, you know, it would have showed up in me a long time ago. And the fact that it works tremendously, and that no matter what the UN says, the UN doesn't have to deal with patients. Okay,
wow.
And thank God Maryland does. And as far as an economic standpoint of it, that we have a lot of patients that are homebound on disability, okay, because they can't work. And I would have been one of them, even today, if I didn't have the right medicine. But I do. Therefore, what could it do to their state budgets if you're able to get patients the right medicine to where they might be able to become productive members of society the way I am? And so, and also the fact of that, you know, it's important, although Maryland's already passed law saying that there is a medical necessity defense in the state of Maryland. But still, a patient doesn't have to waste taxpayers' money to go through that. So with a bill like this passed and with the dispensaries that they would have in Maryland, this would allow patients to get medicine.
Wow.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's amazing. Are you bringing anybody with you, or are you going solo?
No, I'm going solo. The only thing I'll have with me is a almost three-quarter filled tin can.
Now, can you get your tin can filled in other states since it's federal?
Oh, no. The cannabis is sent to a particular facility in Miami, and that's the only place I can pick it up.
Okay.
Oh.
Certified by DEA.
Well, and we have a patient out there really advocating to read your book because they just said if you'd read the book, you'd know this. Okay, I know. I don't read well. Irvin knows I'm getting there.
Well, it's not even that. It's the the audiences out there that haven't heard about it, and so we're,
yeah,
there's
and
a lot of things that we do know.
We have patients right here that can attest to how wonderful a book it is, and we know firsthand how wonderful Irvin is because he's been here to share his incredible knowledge.
And you all have taken good, and you all have taken good, great care of us, and we've been out there, and we appreciate that. The Southern hospitality is what I call it.
We always will.
Hey, Irvin, what's the best part of being a government patient for medical cannabis?
Not having to worry about Johnny Law knocking on my door.
Yeah. Do you still worry, though? I mean, are you 100% worry-free? You can sit back and know that no new law enforcement is going to come knocking on your door because some neighbor called or this or that. I mean, do you ever have accidental run-ins with the law?
Oh, I definitely have accidental run-ins with the law, you know, every so often. And I mean, I'm driving with it, and it's a warm day, which it tends to be down here, and I've got the windows open, and we're sitting at a stoplight, and you know, and I don't think anything of it. The car beside me, and the smoke kind of whiffs into their car, and the light turns green. I take off. Next thing I know, there's an unmarked car pulling me over.
Oh, no.
You know, and I know right away what it is. You know, it's not what I was speeding, you know, or anything like that. And so they'll get out of the car. They go, "What's that you're smoking?" And I go, "Cannabis sativa." He says, "Smells like marijuana." I go, "Well, some people call it that, you know, but that's not what the federal government calls it." And I get a federal prescription, and here's my prescription. I show it to them, explain to them. You know? and inevitably, they always go, well, once they believe that it's really, you know, real, okay, which sometimes might take a little time, but once they believe it's really real, they go, "Wait a minute, you can't drive with this." And I go, "Yes, officer, I can." And I pull out a copy of my protocol, which I keep in my back seat. Okay? And I pull out the protocol, and I said, "Read this page." And they read the page. And what it states is, just like any other prescription, it says that do not operate dangerous machinery if intoxicated. Okay? And so I always say, "Officer, am I intoxicated to you?" And not once has an officer ever said to me, "Yes, you are."
Oh.
Not once. They've always goes, "No, you're not." I go, "That's why I can drive. You know, I don't get a high from it. Never have."
Oh.
You know, and so therefore I can drive. So, you know, there are different run-ins. But again, when there's only four people in the entire United States, I mean, you can't get upset when they question you because anybody else they stop, they'd be breaking the person would be a legal arrest, basically, in most states or in the 23 states, I guess you would say. And so, therefore, you know, you just have to be very tolerant. And again, thank God with the internet. I mean, I can go to the officer, "Look, do you have internet access?" "Yes, fine." "Go to Google, put my name in." You know, if the first 1,000 stories that say federal patient, federal patient, federal patient, you don't believe, go to one of the 150 videos, okay? You know, we'll go to my website, www.mymedicinethebook.com.
A lot of time I can. Wow.
Get with the program, officer.
They have laptops in their cars they cruise around with now.
True.
They do.
But, you know, the sad part about it is Heidi and I were at Harborside last year doing a book signing. And, you know, Harborside's the largest dispensary in the country. And that day there were probably 500 people there. And all those 500 people, patients, were the choir. Am I right?
Right.
Okay. I bet if you went up to all 500 of them and you said, "Does the federal government give out marijuana to anybody?" 350 of them would have said, "Of course not. Are you crazy?"
Right.
And they're the choir.
Right.
So that's so the federal government's done a good job, you know, keeping us quiet, not, you know, letting us get out there so the media, you know, sees everything.
Now, do you have problems, speaking of that, do you have problems with the federal government trying to keep you quiet, quote unquote, other people have been arrested for talking about things the federal government does.
Yeah, no, the federal government's never bothered me at all. And again, I'm very fortunate in the law firm that I have. I mean, I'm represented by a law firm called Steptoe & Johnson out of D.C. And they're all over the world, for that matter. But it was a firm from 1880. They represented Robert Randall in 1977. And they filed a lawsuit against the federal government on Bob's behalf and to get his medicine back. And they filed it on a Thursday. And the next day, the government caved in and put a gag order on the lawsuit and gave Bob his medicine. So the next day, they caved in. So whatever's in that lawsuit, they don't want out, okay? And so when Bob was dying in 2001, he contacted me, and he said, "Irvin, I'm the only one with a lawsuit against the federal government, that when I die, they may try to stop all of you, and you need to, you know, get Steptoe & Johnson to represent you." And it took them 6 weeks after Bob died to investigate me. But finally they came back saying, okay, Irvin, you've been approved, and here are your two attorneys. So
wow.
I have attorneys at Steptoe and Johnson pro bono. So when any reporter, and I'm getting ready to do an interview at 11 o'clock this morning with an NBC affiliate locally, and they'll ask me, am I worried about the government taking it away from me? And I always say, well, yeah, I'm worried. It could happen. However, if it does, Steptoe and Johnson's prepared to go in and file that same lawsuit for me.
And how do you spell that? The name of your legal firm?
It's Steptoe, Steptoe, just like it sounds, Steptoe and Johnson.
Johnson?
Johnson.
Steptoe and Johnson. All right.
And so they're like I say, one of the largest law firms in the world.
And they
represent me. And so I feel very comfortable in that respect. I mean, but they've represented the issue now since 1977. So you're talking, 35 years they've represented the issue. They've spent millions of dollars on us. I mean, not so much on me, because I haven't had much problems in 12 years. But on Bob, they spent a lot of money, a lot of effort, a lot of time on Bob. And they would for me if I needed it. Let's hope I never need it, you know? So I'm hoping.
Irvin,
oh, well, there goes the cell phone.
Yeah.
Irvin, anyway. I saw on ABC News that you've smoked a lot of joints.
Yeah, I have a set of world's records as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I like
only,
that.
Only they won't acknowledge that. The Guinness Book of World Records, I applied.
What?
And they turned me down. They turned me down.
No way.
Well,
why?
Here's why. They have a reason. That they will only sanction a world's record if it can possibly be broken.
Oh.
And they said that yours can't be broken unless you die and one of the other federal patients lives that much longer. But other than that, nobody can prove in the world that they've smoked that much marijuana, you know, over the years. So therefore, we will not sanction that.
Well, start it from now.
What's that?
You can start now. Everybody
start now what?
You can start the record books now, so you can start over.
Oh, well, I think if after 30 years, I've smoked over 125,000 cigarettes.
And it's actually recorded, scientifically recorded.
So,
yes. So.
Yeah, Heidi gave us a gift of a great website about science of cannabis. Are you being studied, if you will? Are they doing, does the government still do tests on you and keep track of the results and everything, blood work, all that?
The government has never done any studies on me in 30 years.
Right.
Period. I mean, the story I give is when we first got it, and I had to fill out a report after 6 months because my protocol says we do reports every 6 months. My doctor, who had never spoken to the government, I was the liaison between the government and my doctor. And so for the first 6 months, after the end of 6 months, he wrote his report, and he took a lot of time and effort and really put it together, a nice report. And so he sent it off to the government. And so the next month I was coming into his office to pick up my tin can. And he said, well, what'd the government think of the report? And I said, well, I'm pretty sure if they started reading it and they were so positive, they probably buried it. And he, being very naive, said, you're serious, aren't you? I go, yeah, Dr. Goldman, they don't want to know that it works. He says, who in the government oversees us? I said, Dr. Ed Tokas, get him on the phone. So I got Dr. Tokas on the phone, and so I said, Dr. Tokas, I'm here with Dr. Goldman, and he'd like to speak with you. And Dr. Tokas says, oh, great, because they'd never spoken before in 6 months. So the doctor gets on the phone and says, you know, Dr. Tokas, you know, thank you so much, and, you know, and good to talk to you. And, you know, and for my report, you saw how much better Irvin's doing, and I just want to thank you all, but I've got a problem. And so Dr. Tokas says, what's that? He goes, I forgot to make a copy of that report. Would you make a copy of that report and send it back to me? Well, simple request. And so the Dr. Tokas said, well, it's nice talking to you, Dr. Goldman, blah, 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 but no, we can't send you a copy of your report. And he hung up the phone and got furious, then turned to me and says, okay, who in Congressman Whitehurst do we have that helps us? I said, her name is so-and-so. Get her on the phone. Okay, we get her on the phone. Dr. Goldman says, I want a copy of that report. And I said, well, you know, under Freedom of Information Act, you have a right, but this is a medical report, so in reality you don't. So we signed an indemnity letter saying I did not mind Dr. Goldman, you know, getting a report Bill Whitehurst, congressman, to get the report for Dr. Goldman. And he never got it. So 6 months later now it's time to fill out the same report again. And he said, and I'm sitting there, and he said, I'll be damned if I'm going to fill out this report if they're not going to use it. He took a red magic marker. And on the front page, he wrote in big print, it's working. Next page, it's working. Next page, it's working. Finally, the last page, it's working, and signed his name to it. Sent it off. Okay? And that's all he did. And not a word was said to him. So then 6 months later, when the next report, I go, look, Dr. Goldman, let's you and I sit here and fill this thing out. It'll take 5 minutes. And so we did fill it out that way from the window. They don't want to know it works. They don't want to know that it works.
The blind eye. Blind eye makes it easier.
So what? Where are we in the process of reopening this program?
We're nowhere near reopening. I wish we would. I mean, that's the out that I've given Obama. I mean, if Obama doesn't want to come out, in favor of cannabis, totally out in favor of it, then give him something to go back on and say, okay, fine. We don't know. Everybody says we don't know enough about this medicine, and we're never going to know about it until we study it, really study it. And what's best to study is with patients. So let's reopen the compassionate care protocols, and let's really study these patients, for 5 years or whatever,
Right.
I mean, granted, it'd be putting patients off, which I don't want to see, because being a board member of Patients Out of Time, patients are out of time. Okay, but,
right.
I've been fighting this issue for 40 years, 30 years as a federal patient. So if I have to keep fighting it, I don't like to, I don't want to, I want to win tomorrow. But if I get a step forward, which means, if they open it to say, 5,000 patients to study, all the major research centers for 2 years or whatever, I'd agree to 2 years. I wouldn't want to see five. But 2 years I would agree to. And I've been so much to say that, let's study these people against their peers. And after 2 years, if these patients have been harmed and the peers are better, well, hell, I don't mind if they stop my protocol. But that wouldn't happen.
Right.
I know it. So,
Urban, we've got a question from one of our listeners, and it's, can you ask him about if he's had any chest x-rays and if has it affected you, your lungs and your breathing after 30 years?
Okay, I do get a chest film every year for the protocol. Okay, and again, it's always been negative. Now, the only time that my breathing was checked was in 2001 when we did the Missoula study in Missoula, Montana, done by Dr. Ethan Russo. He did a complete battery of tests to try to prove once and for all if it caused us any damage, and we would learn it. Because we even thought that it might have. But we figured if there was any damage, it was minimal, and the benefits far outweigh the damage. And so there I did a breathing test, and my breathing was 108% of normal. It was better than people.
Better than
wow.
Yeah, and to your listener, again, Dr. Donald Tashkin, a government doctor for 30 years who did studies to prove how bad cannabis was for the human body. Now, it was a very good doctor to where he always reported the results no matter what. And when he did his last study, which was a 10-year study to prove once and for all that marijuana caused lung cancer, he was positive of it. At the end, he stated this. He could not find one case of lung cancer because of cannabis. In fact, he said that what showed was that the people that smoked cigarettes and cannabis had less cancers than the people who just smoked cigarettes, but he wasn't sure why. Well, the reason being is cannabis is actually a neuroprotectant. It actually protects the lungs. So it's not going to harm your lungs. It's going to help your lungs.
Of course. Wow. And that's the kind of scientific proof and the studies that we need out there so that, we were talking about this last week. We need some sort of, list, like Craig's list.
Destigmatized, debunked.
Well, place where they can go get this.
Right,
because
right,
their
right.
whole claim is, we can't find any scientific proof. Well.
Well, we need to start having those doctors come forward with the,
more and more.
The studies are out there, okay? They've already been done. I mean, worldwide, there have been so many studies done on this. We don't need any more studies. And really, Bob,
really?
I say this was saying, but it's really Bob Randall saying, okay, that when people talk about, we need more studies, what they're really saying is we need more prohibition.
Yeah.
That was one of Bob's sayings. And so, and I've echoed that saying because, we've proven it. And the fact that they've never studied me, I mean, right there is the hypocrisy. They go, we don't know what it does long term. Well,
right.
Here I am, 30 years, and if not me, then why don't we go to Elvie, who's been getting it for 24 years, okay? Or why don't we go to George, who's been getting it for 21 years, or 22 years, and Barbara, 21 years. Well, there's four people right there you can study. But that's only four. Oh, gee, it's only four? Well, if all four of us are in good health, then what does that tell you? It's beneficial. We're living proof, and that's what gets me so upset. because I am living proof of how well it works. I've not taken any heavy narcotics since 1990. And I used to take morphine.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay. And I haven't taken any of that since for 13 years now. Or 23 years. I mean, 23 years. So, you know, I in my spare time, on Saturdays, if I'm in town, I teach at an organization called Shake-A-Lake in Miami, and it's an organization teaching mentally, physically, and economically challenged children and adults how to sail adaptive sailboats. We actually get these kids, no matter what disability, get them out of their wheelchairs and strap them in chairs in the boat, and we teach them how to sail the boat, and they actually sail the boat with the wheelchair on the dock. And I'm able to do this. I'm able to give back to the community by doing all this because I have the right medicine. You know, even on Sundays now, I'm 60 years old. I just turned 60 and last week, that I still play softball on Sundays.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. And with my disability, I can still play softball because I have the right medicine. Now, my right ankle is inoperative. The tibia and the fibia is fused by a tumor. And so running just really bothers me. I mean, I can still run, but it really, really bothers me. So about 7 years ago, I gave up running the bases. It's a pickup game. So when I hit the ball, somebody stands behind the catcher and they run for me.
Nice.
And then I play first or second base because I'm a good fielder, and because there's not a lot of running involved. You know, first or second, there's not a lot of running involved at first or second base. You know, so I can play the position and have a great old time. Okay, because I have the right medicine.
That's so wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, we wish they would do the studies on you so they would see for themselves that, you know, that they are actually helping you thrive, not just, you know, survive in this. It's incredible.
Irvin, what is your medical cannabis test at?
Probably the THC level is about 3.40.
Are the CBD and CBN levels in turn higher, or?
No, they're not.
No.
No, they're not.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Again, the government doesn't agree that it's medicine. Therefore, they really don't have to grow it well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's an experimental new drug. I mean, I don't have a prescription
after
for a medicine.
Something years, it's an experimental new drug. They can't figure out how to grow a plant better.
They don't want to. They don't need to.
They don't want to or don't need to.
Have you?
Irvin, why do you think the government is making it so hard on others to benefit from this medicine?
Because of the money, the lobbying organizations.
Mm-hmm.
You have one of the largest lobbying organizations, the pharmaceutical industry. Well, again, if people are allowed to use marijuana, then they're not going to buy their drugs.
Mm.
Okay, and that's one of the main things. I mean, what I try to point out is 70 to 80% of the United States population is in favor of medical cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say tomorrow it becomes legal in the entire nation. Okay? That 70 to 80% that's in favor of it will not make a dime, will not profit off this. Okay? But the 20% that's against us stand to lose a fortune.
Jeez.
Okay? So, and again, it's a liquor industry.
Yeah.
Okay? It's a cigarette, it's a tobacco industry. I mean, all these places, they don't want to see competition. They don't want to see competition, you know, because that would be bad.
It's alcohol.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, it's just like even in California, you had a lot of the growers vote against legalization because it might hurt their business. It might hurt their bottom line. So.
That's bad. Yeah.
It is. And, you know, and what's happening, I'm hoping now across the nation, is now they're talking about the hemp. And we're the only industrialized country that doesn't allow it. And we can import all the hemp we want, you know, give jobs to Canadians or whatever, but, you know, we can't grow it ourselves. Well, now they're finally starting to turn it around. But the whole problem is the people that are against hemp don't want to see medical marijuana because they don't want to see hemp. And those are the lumber industry. They don't want to see hemp being able to be grown.
Exactly.
Okay, the petrochemical companies, the people who make rayon and nylon,
they don't want
to see that happen. The cotton industry, you know, the law enforcement industry.
I know.
I mean,
they are all making a whole lot of money here.
The people that sell food to the prisons.
Yeah.
Do they want to see laws changed, made easier? Hell no. So that's the sad part. And what I look at is the patient. That's the person who's suffering.
Right.
You know,
absolutely.
And they haven't been able to speak for themselves. And so, You know, when Bob and I were the only two people in the country getting this, you know, we could have both of us just sat back and said, well, we got ours, you know?
Yeah.
But that wasn't something we wanted to do. I mean, his glaucoma sucked, and my bone disorder sucked. So yeah. It's like we said, hey, we're screwed anyway, okay? So let's make the best of a bad situation. Let's help others.
And that's what
we've done.
Yeah. Oh. Well, you know what? We're going to actually, just to wrap our special segment up with you, we're going to bring somebody back on the air that made it possible for us to meet you, and we just thank you both. Are so awesome. Heidi, are you with us again?
I am still here.
All right. We've got a little party going on. Irv, woo-hoo. Do we still have you?
Yes, you do.
All right. All look right. at that. It worked. All right. Good job. You guys are just awesome, and we want to just really say thank you for putting your lives, your spirits, your homes, your everything on the line for patients across this country and the world, because it really is what you're doing, and it's we just are honored that you're with us, and that's it. We love you guys.
Yeah.
Well, thank you all very much, and you all have done a lot of great work out there. It's, you know.
By watching you guys.
Yeah, we're still learning from you guys.
And remember, tell everybody my book's available at www.mymedicinethebook.com.
And Pete? At Single Week Health Center. And you can come pick up a copy down here as well.
That's right. That's right.
Absolutely.
So go there, and then she'll order another case of books.
You betcha.
There we go.
And this
now we're getting short on books, so go ahead and buy us out, okay? We want to reprint.
Yeah, and this is actually how we support the cause. If you are not a patient or maybe can't be a patient in the state that you're in, this is one way to help. You can financially help Irvin and Heidi and Weesday Wednesday and people all across this country that are fighting for this beautiful plant that is helping to save lives. Buy a book. And support the cause.
Well, and I'd like to add one more thing that is a great tool that Irvin also offers are his tin cans. A lot of people don't realize that we do sell those to help us carry on with our effort and lobbying and work. And so we have some of those available for $420. They've always sold for $420. So sorry if anybody gasped at the price. But stuff like that is what can pay for a flight. Or a hotel room booking for an event or something like that. So, and then somebody gets a reward back for their donation as well by getting the tin can, and they have that in their hands and their possession to use as evidence in law cases when you're talking about weight limits and patient need, as well as just to expose the hypocrisy of the federal government. Not enough people. You know, everybody out there meets Irv and meets another one of the federal patients or something like that, and then they go out and keep going, but it's like they quit talking about them and they forget about the whole federal hypocrisy. So, you know, that gets really frustrating there, but it is a series of repetition. And when we preach to the choir, even a lot of the choir doesn't know about the federal program. Still to this day, even 2 years later after carting Irv all over the country and stuff, different places for book tours and everything, there's still a huge majority of this population that is not aware of that program. So whether we're preaching to the choir or preaching outside of the choir, which is where we really need to get a hold of, are those people outside of our choir to bring them into the fold, that story needs to be told over and over and over again, in my opinion.
It does. And you know what? You can come see one of those tins at Tumbleweeds and it's going to encourage you to want to buy one of those.
Hold it, touch it, smell
yeah,
it, open it up, check
great.
It out.
And it's what keeps our friend Irvin and Elvie and George and Barbara going and everybody across this country. Just and the next Patients at a Time conference is in Denver next year,
yep.
Is that correct?
It will be in Denver next year, yes. Probably in April or May. We're not sure when it is.
Awesome. Yeah, we're going. You'll see us there for sure. And, thank you guys so much for being a part of, you know, our show and always for what you do. You guys are awesome and we
amazing.
Love you so
you guys
much.
Keep us doing what we're doing.
Yay.
So thank you.
Definitely.
Yeah, well, one other thing I'd like to plug that we haven't talked about is Patients Out of Time. So, Irv, would you like to educate them about Patients Out of Time one more time for us, big guy? And the website is medicalcannabis.com.
Yeah, we're the foremost organization in the country when it comes to medical teaching. We're the only organization that is approved by the American Medical Association and the American Nurses Association to teach doctors and nurses about medical cannabis, to where they get continuing education credit. So if any of your opposition out there says, well, it's not a medicine, well, ask them first where they got their medical degree from, and then ask them if they know more than the American Medical Association or the American Nurses Association, because they do sanction us to teach their doctors and nurses, and they wouldn't sanction us if they didn't believe it was a medicine.
Wow. So yeah, we
that sums it up right there. Yeah, patients at a time, and the website's medicalcannabis.com.
We will check it out for sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Okay, bye-bye.
Take care, guys.
Thanks,
Heidi. Thanks. I'll turn on the show.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. It's the program's fault. Thank you so much. That was so awesome. Wow, so much information. We get to...
Great people. I love that when they come on. Irvin and Heidi are both filled with both information and experience about medical cannabis and how to actually start getting it
and,
legalized. And,
yep. And Heidi brought us all of this.
Yep.
Thank you, Heidi, for that. She
thank you, Heidi.
Met finally, I mean, after our hijack show, we met at Patients at a Time, became great friends, and now, well, we'll hopefully see them before next year.
Right.
We'll have to get her and Chug and Irvin out on a road trip.
Well, we have
here.
A whole year to
yeah.
see how this
Chug.
All plays
Chug.
Out.
All right, so we have up, this is just a great show, and up next, I think, I'm pretty sure we have on the line with us Doug Fine. Author of Too High to Fail.
Yay.
He was on here, when was he here? Think back, a little while ago. He got to read Hempathy with us. He was actually he was at Tumbleweed.
Right after the trip.
Right yeah, after, yeah, December. It was like early December, something like that. December-ish, somewhere around there. So, anyway, we are going to bring Mr. Doug on and chat with him, find out what he's got going on out in New Mexico. Let's see if he's here.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey, Doug. How's it going?
There you are. We got you now.
Living the carbon neutral good life here in the land of enchantment. Missing you guys because last time we could actually eat Chinese food during the radio show. Like most media interviews I do, let's say every single one except for when we first hung out. We've become friends. There's like all these no food signs going on. One time I got in trouble in some New York interview when I brought my water bottle in with me or something like that. And we're chowing on Chinese food during our interview.
And came in and broke all those rules for you.
As soon as Doug takes a bite, ask a question.
Well, look, I'm a results-oriented kind of guy, and the result of the interview was it was a pretty kick-butt interview, I think. I'm sure people can find it on the Tumbleweeds archive. We had a good time, as you said. We did a reading. I've got a little reading from Too High to Fail to do for you guys today as a happy anniversary gift.
Oh,
awesome.
Yay. That's so awesome. You want to do that now, or should we wait?
Whatever, Belle, you know how to run your multi-million fan radio show.
That's right. Well, I say go for it right now. Let's just start with a story from Doug Fine.
Right on. So this is, can I just say that I was listening to the show, and you're right about Irvin and Heidi. They're so terrific. Like, it's one of these real deal things. One of the people that makes cannabis legitimate are the unionizing. Whatever your view of unions in California, you've got unions that represent steel workers and restaurant workers standing up at the podium saying cannabis is good, let's organize the workforce, and that's really important. And one of the things that the lead union guy in California said at a talk at a protest at the federal buildings after the raids that you'll read about in Too High to Fail, folks, happened. He got up and said, his name's Dan Rush, and he got up and he said, you got to enlist the people that they can't, you know, I don't know if this is his exact words, because he's a pretty meat and potatoes kind of guy, but that they can't impugn. In other words, get your firefighters,
right.
He said specifically. Enlist, in your case, Republicans from Arizona. That's what I love about what you guys are doing. And so these guys on the medical side are doing that, or the Patients Out of Time dealio. And so it was really great to hear them. I would love to give my talk about the PAX cannabis and the organic Emerald Triangle cannabis market at one of the Patients Out of Time conferences to educate doctors and nurses about how important I think outdoor organic growing is. Anyway, that was a big sidetrack, and we can move back to 2 out of 5. I guess I'm just saying what a great show you guys have. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. It's an honor to have you here. Here, kind of. Although we've
got I feel that.
But that's all right. We'll get you back for that.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I hope to be back and hang out with you guys soon. Okay, so this is from 2 out of 5, and the setup is so I'm in Mendocino County doing all this reporting. All the farmers are starting to trust me. It's relatively easy and relatively early in the research. And then I have to split in my vegetable oil-powered, ridiculously oversized American truck, the Roat, that some readers will know from Farewell, My Subaru, my previous book. And I'm already in Mendo time. Mendocino, it's over. The drug war is over in Mendocino County, California, for any use of cannabis. And also, you... like, they acknowledge it, basically, and it's working. It's better for the economy. It's better for public safety, and that's what 2 out of 5 was about. So anyway, the moment I cross out of Mendocino County, I'm pulled over by profiling drug squad, basically a routine drug war thing, a false statement about that my car smelled of cannabis, no rights read to me. And this is awesome as an author. I have to say, at the time, it was really terrifying. And the reason why I'm choosing this passage to read is because, to me, how it affects me... the drug war is in the law enforcement terror. And I'm terrified by law enforcement because of the drug war. And I have example after example I could give of that, and it's brought automatic weapons close to my house and raids on close-by neighbors for a few plants, a retired senior citizen, while nearby mayors or actual cartel members, unarrested, supplying arms, or at least long unarrested, if I'm arrested the mayor of Columbus for being a member of a Mexican drug cartel. Anyway, so the Columbus, New Mexico, I'm talking about, a U.S. town, the mayor. Long story short, I'm pulled over by the Sonoma drug squad and Sonoma County after I leave Mendocino, and right under a billboard that reads, "Grab some buds." do you guys know that Budweiser billboard? Have you seen that?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so... when I came back to Mendocino County, I was really shaken up by this experience. I mean, have you ever had people with guns walk you someplace with your hands behind your back for nothing in your own country with no rights read? No, I haven't ever had that happen. That's weird. That's kind of weird, don't you think? So,
yeah.
And of course, you know, they're taking apart my kids' seats, and of course, I didn't have any cannabis on me. I'm just a cannabis journalist. And that's what really ended it. I was like, dude, this is awesome. Can I go on a ride-along? I'm writing a book about the drug war. I'd like to see how the drug war is fought. And they're like, yeah, we'll see you later. I cost the drug war $1,100 in the 20 minutes that they kept me from their normal gravy train. I calculated it based on the amount of Americans' property they seize and all that kind of stuff. So I come back, and I come back to Mendocino County, and I start whining to Matt Cohen, who is one of the open, tax-paying, cartel-herding, job-creating, Chamber of Commerce member farmers that I follow in 2 out of 5. And I'm like, oh, my God, do you know where my hands are? My back is up. And he goes, and so now I'm going into 2 out of 5. Cohen's response there in the drizzle was to blink. He kept blinking very occasionally. When I told him the part of the story where I found myself sitting in Deputy Londo's car, wondering if Sonoma County's jails commit conjugal visits. If they're going to lie about smelling cannabis, what else would they lie about? I inveighed with profound self-pity. When I finished, Cohen blinked 3 more times, I think it was, before he noticed that I seemed to expect some kind of reaction along the lines of, holy shit, how much in civil rights damages are you suing for? Instead, he casually checked that he didn't have to take an incoming cell phone call and then said evenly, dude, you're bumping in a big rumbling truck across the Sonoma line? Let me guess. Bob Marley's blasting out of the speakers. It was Steel Pulse, I corrected defensively, and my tires aren't as knobby or as jacked up as you generally see around here. I'd already noticed the perpetual monster truck show that passes for normal traffic in the Mendocino Hills. Of course you got profiled, Cohen continued, undeterred. Ever take a gander at yourself? You look like just another grower. I've got 2 delivery guys facing felony charges from running that stretch of the gauntlet right now. He shrugged. Cost of doing business. The gauntlet? Highway 101 from the Sonoma County line to the Bay Area when you're not in Kansas anymore.
The gauntlet.
I suppose it was true. Same scruffy beard, same seasonally muddy Carhartts, same vaguely hercene smell. Basically, I hadn't so much gone native has arrived in Mendocino Native. So, from 2 out of 5.
Yay.
Awesome.
Yeah, that was great.
That was good.
Wow. The gauntlet.
The gauntlet. And there's gauntlets I've since found out all over the country. All the basically interstate try to blend in. The metaphor that I get in the book is in the Serengeti. Do you remember the old National Geographic nature specials where, like, there'd be 100,000 wildebeest waiting in line, but the first one in line notices that in the river that they have there's crocodiles.
Right.
And so basically, statistically, 100,000 of those wildebeest are going to get eaten, even though are going to get across. 100% are going to succeed, even though 23 poor souls are going to lose their lives, and that's the drug war. And you don't want to be that one that gets eaten by the crocodile, right? So safety is in numbers, especially if you look different, you know, if you have an out-of-state license plate or something like that.
Well, yeah, but you look like what you look like, you know?
Yeah.
What do you do? You look like a little farmer. It's great. You can't pull everybody over because, well, I guess they can in Arizona or anywhere they want. You know, they just, yeah, it is messed up. Like you said, your own country with no rights read, no warrants, no nothing. You're held at gunpoint. Like, that's sad. That's really sad.
It is. I mean, basically, I'm a defender of America, right? And so, you know, I kind of believe in the system. And it's hard to sometimes with money and corruption and with how bad the Supreme Court is, for instance. Like, I used to be like, well, the Supreme Court will keep the wrongs from happening. And then Scalia is like, he can't follow basic journalistic ethics. Is like, you know, year one law school, recuse yourself from cases that in which you have a conflict of interest. same for Clarence Thomas, former Monsanto lawyer, now Supreme Court justice. Anyway, yeah, the thing that really makes me sad about the thing that needs to change to keep my patriotism fired up, besides the drug war overall, is the general law enforcement stuff. That's what really terrifies me. I always think that, you know, as this person who's raised in the New York suburbs, do I really have a right to feel a kinship with someone like Bob Marley, right? And I listened to the song 3 o'clock Roadblock. We should dig that up. Can you guys play it? 3 o'clock Roadblock. Is basically like, he's just driving along, oh, shit, man. It's a roadblock, and then he just whines three times. He wails, I've got to throw away my little herb stuff. And it's like, damn, really? Like, if it was Budweiser, you could keep it, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, that, I don't want to say that I'm someone who's in possession of something that's federally illegal at any time, because of course I'm not, but I have friends who are really into cannabis, you know? And that song, they really relate to, because here in the Southwest, we do have what you're talking about, those checkpoints, those crazy checkpoints, you know, and that just stop everybody. Are you a citizen? Where are you from? What are you carrying? They look in your car. They look at your kids in the kids' seat. It's like, who the hell are you? You know, $21,000 a year Border Patrol guy to look at my kid right now. You know, sorry, not to make it be about his salary. I'm just talking about how much of our bullshit taxpayer money goes to this, like, bullshit. And then, like, I just found out the other day that some states don't allow that. Some states do not allow those kind of checkpoints. Okay, so we've got precedent here. Let's stop it. It's a Fourth Amendment violation. Okay, thank you for the rant. But that's what affects me the most about the drug war. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Well, it's just, and the, you said 20 minutes cost $1,100?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's insane.
That's just one route. Yeah. I was just calculating that section of arrests, not the nation's worth of seizures and arrests. I think just that.
That's an interaction. That was a basic interaction, $1,100 interaction. Like, that's just, and we wonder why we have a financial problem.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. Oh, my goodness. Are you writing something these days we should know about?
I'm always, and I'm actually just in an exciting phase right now. I'm on the last few days here, taking a quick break with you blessed humans, jam a deadline for a project that I'm getting so excited about. So, you know TED Talks, the TED people? Have you heard of that?
Yes.
So they have a book imprint, and I may have told you guys this already, but so TED Books is the dealio, and I'll probably be doing a talk at least one, as well, but they have this new thing, and it's all e-books. And what I'm so, as, oh, and so I haven't told you, it's about hemp. My working title is called King Seed, because that's the Farsi word for it for 4,000 years. Like, hemp is the king seed. So it's the hemp side of stuff, and I traveled to Canada, shot a lot of video, and so it's this multimedia bonanza about hemp, and it's due this Friday, and we'll so it's in a couple of days, and we'll see when it actually comes out.
Wow. Anything you want to, can you do a little excerpt from that, or tell, share anything, or?
Yeah, no, I mean, I can share as much. It's so interesting. I mean, it'd be a, you know, totally, total work in progress. I'll tell you what I'm working on right here at the moment. So I just decided, you know, this is what I do as a journalist. I'm a comedic investigative journalist, and I go on site to do things. And so I've been in Canada in February looking at their hemp fields and processes, and Hawaii looking at their plants. Wow. And yeah, that one was real tough. So what I'm working on right now is this hemp oil limo ride I took in Denver with an engineer and hemp activist named Bill Althaus. So that's going to be in there, including video clips. But I'm having such a blast. You can imagine reliving the memory watching these video clips of riding in a hemp limo, you know, sheepskin seats and all this stuff. Yeah, so it's going to be fun.
What kind of car, what kind of limo itself was it?
I'm so glad you asked. So it was a 1979 cream-colored Mercedes limo, formerly owned, Bill insists, by Ferdinand Marcos, the supposed Philippine dictator, now running on hemp oil, and he had the whole lineage. It was like the Seinfeld episode where George Costanza thinks he's bought John Voight's, like, Chrysler, 1970-something Chrysler. Anyway, so, and another thing, Bill, you said, you know, we look like what we look like about the profiling deal on the but, you know, I'll confess that I've seen pictures of you that you've shown me when you look, for instance, different hairstyle-wise than you do today, you know what I mean? So we humans really do have the option of basically choosing the profile that we want. I don't happen to dress to please law enforcement, or drive to please law enforcement, but the fact is, if I had been driving, like, a black Lexus SUV or any colored Lexus SUV minivan with a local license plate instead of an out-of-state license plate with no beard, this is actual advice that couriers for medical cannabis farmers have told me about that's in too out of bail. Like, if I had done all that, they say the best thing you can be is old or a woman, and those are as much as I love womankind and, respect our elders, I'm not willing to go that far. But other than that, it's don't have a beard, don't have a rental car, don't have an out-of-state vehicle kind of deal. And so we can affect, I think, whether or not we get profiled. Really, that's just another sign of how long the drug war is, of course.
You're 0 for 3 on that.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I'm glad it happened. I'm glad that happened. I mean, think about it. It's a far better book for that having happened. And people who care a lot about this, who recognize that ending the drug war is the best policy move America's economy can make, just straight up economy. And it's like everybody realizes it, guys. Don't worry about it. Like the California Republican convention last week, they're like, we got to change our view on the war on drugs because 40% of Colorado Republicans voted for cannabis in the 2012 election. Which, let me tie this back in here into Arizona and say, what you guys are doing is so brave. I think of you all the time, Tumbleweeds and Tumbleweeds Health Center and all the great things that you do. Because it's Arizona. When we're winning, when America is winning on what the media would categorize as a very red state, forget it. It's like it's done. It's when you know you've won the war. So thank you for what you're doing, you guys.
Oh, thank you. It's, you know, like we've said before, it's an honor to be amongst people like you who really are truly sticking your whole lives and your families. We were just thinking about that, you know. You've got families to worry about. I think, like, when you get pulled over, I mean, it's the first thing you got to think about, you know, my wife, my kids, my other kids, you know, all the kids, everything that you worked your whole lives to have can be taken away in one dumb moment, you know, with an uneducated police officer somewhere. But we really, you know, truly thank you for doing what you do. And it's been an honor to become your friend and spend time with you when you tumbleweed yourself through this great state and come visit us. It's always a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm so glad that you guys are a prime example, topless example of the fact that the study of this planet with which humans have been interacting and co-evolving for 8 millennia brings just wonderful people together. I'm having such a pleasure. I suppose I could say that's true of any topic I've covered, you know what I mean? But so this is just yet another way of bringing people together, but it just seems to be universally a good scene. Like in Canada, just, I mean, you know, Canadians, they're pretty nice people in general, if we can do a positive stereotype. But, you know,
yeah.
I'm wandering around asking cabinet-level officials of the province, deputy minister of housing I have on camera of the Manitoba province, going like, yeah, we're doing whatever we can to support our hemp farmers, of course. We have high hopes for our hemp industry. That's why we're building this provincially funded hemp house. And I'm like, oh boy, interesting, because 60 miles south of North Dakota, if the agricultural commissioner said that, he'd be arrested for cultivating a class 1 felony, you know, a schedule 1 narcotic.
So do you think that's the challenge with scheduling is if they take it off for one, it's going to be off for the other, you know, quote unquote hemp versus marijuana? Like if they reschedule it, then the whole country gets to grow hemp and use cannabis as they will?
Yeah, anytime I hear any kind of finagling on anything about cannabis, I say to whomever it is, whether it's a hamster, whether it's a medical cannabis person, whether it's a politician trying to be pragmatic, whoever it is, I'm like, yeah, no. You need to take cannabis out of the Controlled Substances Act and let states regulate it, something along the lines of alcohol for adult use. Utah's laws will be different than Nevada's laws. Even that isn't perfect, but it eliminates all this broad crud of this but not this, or these limits, or no growing outdoors, or whatever. Like Colorado is banning growing outdoors, which is the only sustainable, healthy way to do cannabis. Anybody out there who's listening to this who eats organic food and thinks about their diet, maybe doesn't eat too much meat, exercises, anybody out there trying not to die of GMO poison, already knows this about their diet. They're already going to farmer's markets. They're already going to be supporting community, supporting agriculture. But somehow with their cannabis, because it's illegal, you're afraid to ask, blah, 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 you don't know the deal, is someone a drug dealer? You're just like, okay, good. Well, you need to be thinking about it just as much as you think about your broccoli and your kid's baby food. So outdoor organic principles, farmer-supportive collectives and co-ops, ideally, you know, so we'll have community-supported agriculture, let us hope. And certain climates, you can't do it all year round outdoors. I get that. Work it out. Figure it out. If you have to do some light deprivation or whatever, or if you live in an urban situation where it's difficult to cultivate, well, you should certainly be allowed to cultivate a plant or two in your garden, any place where cannabis is legal, outdoors, wherever you live, because it's just a plant, like your carrots. But if your idea is to grow 90 bazillion plants to supply your neighborhood and or have, like, huge health shakes every day, then maybe you shouldn't be living in a quarter-acre lot in downtown whatever. So, anyway, so that's the end of my spiel about that. Thanks, guys, for having me.
Oh, thank you so much.
And thanks, Doug.
We hope to see you very soon. Are you coming through town anytime soon?
You'll know you're my first call when I figure that out. But right now I'm thinking about nothing except this book deadline.
Awesome. Well, good luck with that. And thank you for sharing and reading from Too High to Fail. And we love you. Thank you so much for being a part of this.
Love you, too. And plug, folks want to know more about my stuff. My website is DougFine.com. And if you do the Twitter follow stuff, all the, you know, when the ebook is out, I do, you know, regular blogging and journalism as well. In fact, I told you guys already, I'm trying to interest Alternate in a story about women run collective in Red State, you know, or women run club in Red State. So we'll be in touch on that as well.
Oh, cool. Awesome. Women run clubs in Red State. Excellent.
Isn't that what Tumbleweed is? I mean, how would you describe it in one sentence or less?
That's it. We like it.
All right, talk to you soon, guys.
Thank you. We love you, Doug. Bye.
Take care, Doug.
Bye.
All right. Wow, that was awesome. Gosh, what a jam-packed morning of awesome. Doug Fine.
Awesomeness.
DougFine.com. Yeah. Farewell, my Subaru. He kicked the habit of oils and got onto biofuels and then too high to fail. Really, why we just wouldn't succeed in this industry.
Check out his book.
Hemp. And there's so much. If you just Google hemp right now, there is so much going on.
Oh.
In legislature, they're trying to reschedule.
We have the hemp bill that's just been introduced to Congress.
Bills, yep, they're just introducing bills into Congress. So we have somebody who's very familiar with Congress and what's going on. We have on the line, I hope this is the right number we've got up here on hold, Mr. Robert Platshorn. Let me see if he's on here. Did we get you, Robert?
How you doing? Good morning, Robert.
Good morning. Oh, well, good afternoon. Good morning. How are you?
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, loud and clear. That's great.
Okay, I've got you on speakerphone. If that works, we'll go.
Okay.
We're good.
Cool.
How are you?
I'm terrific, but harassed.
Still, I was thinking about that. Well, I think about that quite often. What's going on?
The Parole Commission simply won't let me travel to any events or to do any travel that's involved with the promotion of legalization of cannabis.
Will they let you travel for anything other than that, or they're just saying no travel at all, can't do anything?
Well, the reality is no travel at all because they denied me permission to address the National Convention of the American Bar Association.
Wow.
I'm about to apply for permission to travel to Tallahassee to meet with legislators. We've got two very good bills in the legislature this year for medical cannabis in Florida. And I've been running my show, Should Grandma Smoke Pot, in the Miami area, and we're about to run in Tampa and Orlando. And I want to get up there to meet with the legislators and to participate in, there's a walk for ALS.
Oh.
And our bill is named after Kathy Jordan, who's America's longest surviving ALS patient. For those who don't know her story, she was diagnosed with the most virulent form of ALS about 26 years ago and was given a short time to live. She traveled to Florida because it was the easiest place to get large amounts of pain pills, opiates, and she wanted to commit suicide. While she was here, a friend convinced her to try cannabis to treat her ALS, and now 26 years later, Kathy is still alive and working very, very hard to get cannabis legalized here in Florida. She's in a wheelchair, and she has wheeled into every legislator's office and pleaded as a matter of life and death to allow medical cannabis. And strangely, or not so strangely, the day that the Kathy Jordan medical cannabis bill was announced in Tallahassee 2 weeks ago, her home was raided, and they took 25 small plants and a mature plant that she was using for her medicine.
Oh, and how did they get it? Why? How? What were the grounds of raiding her?
Well, the grounds they stated, I'm sure, are not the grounds that were real. They said that a delivery man had stopped at a neighbor's house to drop something off and smelled cannabis. Growing.
growing.
But
smelt it grow.
It was the Manatee County Sheriff's Office that raided her house, you know, guns drawn and masks on and one of these real rumbles. And the sheriff has known about Kathy for many, many, many years. She's very open about her use and her advocacy, and that they decided to raid her on the day the bill was announced is more than slightly suspicious.
Yeah.
In any case, the people we need to get more support from here in Florida are the Republicans, and especially from the northern part of the state. And
right.
It just so happens that they're sponsoring a walk on 420 for ALS.
Oh, cool.
And I know Kathy plans to be there leading the parade, whether they like it or not.
Right.
And there'll be a lot of supporters there. I certainly would like the Silver Tour to be represented. Kathy's a dear, dear friend of mine, as are all the other people who are going to show up. We've got a unique situation in Florida. We all work together. There's four small organizations in the state, and we coordinate everything with each other, and we're all good friends. There's no conflicts like there are in a lot of other places.
Yeah, good.
So I'll be trying to get permission to go to Tallahassee to meet with the legislators and incidentally be there over the weekend to participate in the march. That's the latest news. Should Grandma Smoke Pot's about to go on the air in Waco, Texas.
All right.
There's a local lawyer who's a former prosecutor there who's actually sponsoring 15 airings of the show.
Wow. And,
Texas, as you know, it has a very mild medical defense bill, which is a big step for them. And he wants to run the show in support. And I'm hoping to find some other sponsors in Texas cities because the show gets tremendous results. Every time that show is aired, hundreds of letters and emails and calls are made to legislators asking them, begging them for legal, safe access to cannabis as a medicine.
Wow. Where are you finding that you're getting the most response from? What age group?
It's really across the spectrum. You know, my campaign was to reach out to seniors in the mainstream,
mm-hmm.
something no other organization has done. In fact, there is no organization in America that's trying to educate the mainstream on marijuana, whether it's for medical or legal, recreational, whatever. There is not, nor has there ever been, any organization that's attempted to reach out in the public media on a sustained campaign to educate the mainstream. And that's what the Silver Tour does that no one else does. You know, I made that show, Should Grandma Smoke Pot, to fit into a half-hour paid programming spot, like an infomercial.
Yeah.
And I'm an old infomercial producer. I was producing infomercials before Ron Popeil or Billy Mays or any of the famous pitchmen. And I worked with all of those guys on the boardwalk back in the day. So Grandma is a really potent program. It's just passed 43 or 44,000 views on YouTube.
Oh, awesome.
It's awesome, but the people we need to reach are not on YouTube.
Right.
On Facebook. All of the activist organization since their inception, from the beginning of NORML and ASA and MPB, they talk to each other, but they don't talk to the people they need to reach. Activism is a very incestuous activity. And I run Should Grandma Smoke Pot on commercial television. And there's also a version for public access television. If anybody wants to run it on public access TV, they can get in touch with me, and I'll send them a copy they can run on public access that doesn't have the heartfelt pleas for donations. But public access, again, is limited. It doesn't reach the kind of audience that commercial television reaches. And that's been my main activity since I can't travel. My show's out there traveling.
Right.
And doing the work it's meant to do. The response is very heavily from seniors, and seniors are the most important voting bloc in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly in my state, in your state, California, you've got youth senior communities. Seniors vote. You know, it's great to have youth support, but we've always had youth support. We don't have to go out and work for that.
Right.
They come to us. But senior support in the voting booth is absolutely critical. And no one else has gone out and approached the subject.
And so, are you finding they're voting after they are seeing your video, after you're talking to them? I mean, how are you reaching them if you're stuck at home other than your video? Who's taking this around the country for you?
Well, the video is doing that. Every time that show is aired, it generates hundreds of hits up on the Silver Tour website, and the hits are people who are putting in their zip code so that they can get the names, addresses, emails, and phone numbers of their lawmakers.
We were talking about that earlier. What's your website where they can do that?
www.thesilvertour.org.
Okay.
And if they'd like to sponsor airings or contribute to the fund that sponsors airings, they can do that there. Amazingly enough, they can order a signed copy of my book, The Black Tuna Diary.
Excellent.
Just happens to be there under merchandise.
That's
and they
great.
Can order a copy of the show. You know, there's probably 70 or 80 people now in almost every state who are using my show, Should Grandma Smoke Pot, because it connects so well with seniors. They're
mm-hmm.
using it and giving showings at senior centers all over the country. They'll go in and introduce the show and then give a talk and maybe have a local patient or doctor give a talk. And it's been very effective. In fact, about 4 days ago, Dr. Lester Grinspoon called me. I was flabbergasted because, you know, Lester is the father of our movement.
Right.
Lester Grinspoon at Harvard has been out front for longer than any other doctor in this country. And he called me up and he said, Bobby, I just watched Should Grandma Smoke Pot on YouTube. Someone showed me where it was. He said, I've never seen anything so effective in educating seniors and getting them to take action like your show. He said, I just wanted to compliment you on the show, and would you please send me a copy, because I'm going to give a lecture at a senior center, and I very much want to show your video.
Oh,
that's
awesome.
Yeah,
wow.
That absolutely blew my mind. It made my day and week and year.
No kidding.
I've been an admirer of his since the late 70s. When he defended the Zion Coptic Church in court for their use of cannabis, and then he published his book, I think it was called Medical Use of Illegal Drugs or something like that, and it caused a big furor. The government at the time tried to say that he was senile and You know, and here's one of the most prestigious positions in the country. And by the way, he happens to be insured grandma smoke pot. And so is Dr. Andrew Weil, and so is Dr. Donald Abrams, who's head of oncology at San Fran General, and a lot of other medical authorities, patients like Irv Rosenfeld, and researchers like Raphael Meshulam in Israel.
Wow.
Anybody who hasn't seen Grandma has missed the most potent argument ever made for legalization. And that's according to Dr. Grinspoon and lots of others.
Where can our patients find, we're going to type this out online here, where can they find that?
They can find it on YouTube under Your Grandma Smoke Pot, Final Cut, or they can look at it right on the homepage of thesilvertour.org. There's also a full version of Grandma's appearance on The Daily Show.
Wow, it's great.
I was on The Daily Show in December.
Wow.
And they featured my Silver Tour show and Should Grandma Smoke Pot. They did a heck of a piece, and that video's right up there on the homepage of the Silver Tour.
That's awesome. Do you find that you get a lot more people checking into your websites after shows like that? Are they making comments? Is there a space for people to make comments? Are there?
No, there's no comment section. There should be. I've got a volunteer webmaster who does a pretty good job, but it's limited in what I can add and take away. The site's very good and it's very complete, but there's not a comment section. I do get a lot more activity when something like The Daily Show takes place, or I was featured on CNN Money. They did a really nice piece with video, and when I was on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, they featured the Silver Tour right on the front page
of
a not very liberal publication.
Yeah.
In fact, Silver Tour was featured in Der Spiegel in Germany a couple of weeks ago, and you know that's one of the most influential publications in Europe.
Wow.
And Channel 7 Australia, the most popular channel, they did a show on Sunday evening, which is the most watched show in Australia, and the whole hour was devoted to the Silver Tour and senior use of cannabis. So I may be shackled to the chair, but the message
Grandma sure isn't.
and what I'm most proud of is you and I both know that a couple of years ago there was no senior dialogue. Seniors very reticent to even mention it. If they were smokers, they were secret smokers. It just wasn't something that was talked about among seniors or in senior communities. And that's changed radically. When they read about it in the Wall Street Journal or see it on The Daily Show, or when they watch Grandma Smokes Pot, they see people their own age with their problems and discussing how they solve them with the use of cannabis. When you see a retired nurse who says, I have MS and Crohn's, and I used to wake up every morning in my own mess in bed because I couldn't control it, and I was ready to shoot myself, and someone convinced me to try cannabis, she said, now I lead an entirely different life, and there's hope for me. That impresses people.
Yeah.
And it gets them talking about what they were ashamed or afraid to mention. And so of all the things I've done, I think I'm most proud of opening up that dialogue and bringing it into the open, in the mainstream.
Well, and we're proud of you for doing that. That's like you said, the generation that you're, the Silver Tour is targeting, you know, they vote. Like you said, the kids can support you all they want, but the, you know, that group of people are out there. They're the ones voting. They always have, and they're going to vote until they can't possibly physically do it. And if you open the minds and hearts of those people, you know, like you said, they're seeing ailments affected of that are just like theirs, and they get arthritis, and they see someone suffer and then be alleviated by cannabis. You know, maybe they'll think differently.
And as a young follower of the Silver Tour, I know that I share this information with all age groups. And I think, mm-hmm. you know, you said you've been getting to the young followers. Well, actually having those young followers as your outreach workers to the older community. Everyone has a grandmother, a grandfather, an aunt, an uncle, you know, senior citizens in their family, and actually getting them to push the envelope and destigmatize it with the, you know, their elders, you know, so to say.
Probably the greatest value of all of those tens of thousands of YouTube views. If you look on YouTube where people do post comments, you'll see hundreds of comments, and a lot of them are, I tried to get my grandmom to try cannabis. She suffers from MS or arthritis or Crohn's or sleep deprivation, and she would never consider it. And she watched Grandma on television. I got her to watch it. And now she decided to try it, and she's off half of her meds.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I get a lot of those emails. So although Grandma is aimed at seniors, its message resonates all across the age line.
Mm-hmm.
And it provided a medium for younger people to introduce cannabis to seniors or you know, parent age and grandma age, because they can relate to it.
Yeah.
It's not the same old hippies selling the same line about cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
I don't allow hippies in my show, even though I'm an old hippie myself. I cut my hair, I shave, and I put on a nice shirt or a jacket and tie, because that's what's necessary to reach the mainstream.
Right.
If you got hair down to your butt and tattoos and got your hat on backwards, take my word for it. You're not going to make an impression, no matter how sincere you are. And, you know, I was a hippie and a rebel most of my life, but I realized if I'm going to deliver this message, I've got to do it the right way.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I've watched the video numerous times, and you've done an excellent, excellent job with it. And I think it's just very well done. I think the education is behind it. I think the destigmatization is behind it. And I think you've definitely done a great job with it. And I'm doing my best to get it out there to as many people as possible.
Yeah, it's played here at Tumbleweeds Daily. And new members, new patients come in, and we put it in there while they're filling out forms, and they're just amazed.
They're drawn right into it. It's really great.
They're doing and watch this, and you just hear all the new thoughts in their heads going, huh, oh, oh, huh, you know, like, oh, that affirmation of, wow, cool, you know.
And then, of course, the question comes is, where can we get this at? And we, of course, be able to send them right to the site so they can pass it on themselves.
Yeah, then we've sold a bunch here, too. We've sold a bunch of the DVDs here. So it's great. You can get it here or online. Definitely check it out, though, and spread the news. And go to thesilvertour.org and put your zip code in and talk to your representatives. Wouldn't you say, Robert?
Yeah, that's what I made it for. Do you know that the head counsel at Hearst Broadcast Group, their TV station group, said it was the classiest issue show he has ever seen, and he okayed it to play on all the Hearst stations if I ever have to play on them, you know, all the times paid for by supporters. But that was a heck of a compliment, considering part of the show does have to mention Hearst, and not in a very good light.
Yeah.
That didn't bother them a bit. He said he was okay with that, and just loved the show. oh, we got something new. We got a gorgeous knockout bumper sticker.
Oh.
That says, should grandma smoke pot? It was done by the pop artist here in Miami. And we had a benefit in Miami the other night, and I was down there. They let me travel anywhere in South Florida.
Oh, okay.
But, I'm restricted to about three or four counties. And also I was at an art fair where I did a book signing, and the bumper stickers just flew off the table. Everybody thought that was so delightful.
Yeah.
Send me your address again. I'm going to send you a few.
Heck yeah. We're all wondering how to get some already.
Yeah. They're on the site under merchandise, and you can see it there. And I know I've got them on my Facebook page. By the way, you know, I'm on two Facebook pages, one under my own name, Robert Blackthorn, where you can friend me. And there's a Silver Tour page, which everybody can go to. And I post all my current activities and future plans. I stay pretty up to date on Facebook. I lag behind on Twitter and Pinterest and all the others, but Facebook I keep up pretty good.
There are a lot out there.
Facebook's amazing.
They just have to type in either the Silver Tour or Robert Platshorn, and they both come up.
Yep.
Man on a marijuana mission, it says, right on your Robert Platshorn page right there. And
yeah, that was a terrific magazine article somebody did.
That's a great picture.
Yeah, I snatched that right up and made it my profile.
That's a good
way to go.
Well, thank you so much for all that you do, and especially for coming on air with us twice now.
Mm-hmm.
We just love you so much, and we're so proud of you and honored to have you be a part of our show, and honored to be able to call you friend.
Mm-hmm.
Tumbleweed loves you very much.
Hang in there, and it's not going to be like this for too much longer.
Yeah.
I love Tumbleweeds, and you know, you guys are my girls. I mean, you know, you took such good care of me at the Patient Out of Time conference, and I love visiting Tumbleweeds. I think the people you attract there are really terrific, and it's just got a warm, homey atmosphere. I love the place, and I really resent not being able to travel out there for events and see you guys again. You can complain to the commissioner of the parole commission. Fullwood.
Isaac
Fullwood. Nice.
Send letters going out.
Yeah, you could just see he's going to get a stack. Hey, get Robert back here.
Awesome.
His phone number is right on their website.
Okay.
All righty. Thanks for having me on. I love talking to you guys.
Oh,
thanks, Robert.
A pleasure and an honor. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Take care.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye.
What a great, awesome guy.
Awesome.
I just posted, should grandma smoke pot again?
Oh, good. Yeah, check out the Facebook page.
Yeah, Facebook page is great. Of course, his page is really great, too. Look up Robert Platshorn, and if you don't know how to spell that, it's... it is
Platshorn. Robert Platshorn. Or
find him on
Silver Tour.
Find him on Facebook. He's got a lot of great information on his page. You can either be friends or go ahead and follow, which is a new thing that you can do with more affiliated people out in the community. Is follow them now. You don't have to be their friends, but if you don't know them, you can follow them and look them up and still get the same kind of information. Robert's got a lot of information coming about Florida's passing medical marijuana.
And that great link, when you throw your zip code in, you can find out who your reps are, where you live, and talk to them, write them letters. Write them handwritten letters. We hear that's very, very effective. Instead of just an email, they get millions and millions of emails. A handwritten letter really
sends it right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We want to do some commercials here because we have 20 minutes left. We're waiting for Ivan Art to call in. Ivan is the author of Hempathy, Food for Thought, our wonderful book that we've been reading for almost a year now. Second time through we're reading it. But while we wait for Ivan, thank you, Irvin Rosenfeld, Doug Fine, Robert Platshorn, for being on our show. That was awesome. And we want to thank Growers House,
mm-hmm.
227 East Valencia, right here in Tucson, or growershouse.com for all your hydro needs.
Go visit Paul and Nate.
Paul and Nate. And we would also like to thank...
Mary Jane Survival Guide.
Yes.
Which we took a break from this week to do a nice two-hour show for our listeners out there.
Yeah,
hope you guys are liking it.
Your radio anniversary show, yay!
We've yet to hear anyone call in, but we haven't done a.
Actually, there was.
Oh, there,
somebody.
Right.
Well, there's some. I think that's Ivan, but there was somebody on before. There were a couple people, but
okay.
We were just knee deep in chatter, so yeah. We didn't get a chance, and they dropped the line. But thank you for calling in, and we've got some great blogs out there too. But get back to. AZ Med Testing, thank you so much for always making sure we have safe medicine and that the aliens come to Tumbleweeds to say hello and that there are no fungus or bugs. And we would like to thank all of our listeners worldwide. We've had a whole host of listeners from the Netherlands, Switzerland, Canada,
New Mexico,
Florida,
lots of people listening
Minnesota,
in today.
Everywhere, Colorado, Montana. A lot of states have called in to say hello and chat with us. And believe you me, a year ago when I said, okay, let's just do it, and we messed up the first show, it was scary fun. It's still scary fun, and it's just an honor and a pleasure to be able to bring this incredible information as it's happening live in our world.
Our
world at large. This is big stuff we're involved with, you know. Who knew you could sit around, you know, we're lucky to have a country where we can have even a podcast like this where you can sit around and talk about such a hot topic,
right.
You know, pretty freely. They're probably listening. Hey, guys, girls, who's tapped our walls. But it's really been awesome. And Tumbleweeds has allowed us to host a show here for a year now, and we're going for our second year. If you all have people that you know would like to be on air that want to talk about this cause, we've got some exciting stuff coming up in the way of hemp in our country, some bills being introduced into Congress. We have in Colorado, Willie Nelson on his birthday gets to plant the first hemp seed in one of hopefully tons of crops.
In Colorado.
Yep, that's going to be growing.
April 30th. Which is Willie Nelson's birthday.
Oh, yeah, cool. Willie's birthday. And we actually, I think we have Ivan on air. We are really excited because this is, it's kind of been a joke, but not a fun threat every
pretty exciting,
every
I think.
Day since, or every week since we've read this. And I kind of caught a bug or something and was sitting on the couch and thought, well, I'm just going to do it. Oh,
I've got
two
questions.
There's two numbers here. Let's see.
Well, it's not.
Well, we don't know. We'll see if this is, I'm not sure who's, oh, nope, we're going to go right here. I think this is Ivan.
Ivan,
are you with
yes.
Us?
Hello.
Oh,
it's
hey.
Awesome.
Woo.
Welcome to the show.
How you doing?
Awesome.
Doing great.
How are you?
Fantastic, thank you. Calling from the future. I'm 8 hours ahead of you guys.
That's right. You're right.
Hey, how is the future? What's going on?
It's actually this part of this end of the world. It's a little chilly. We got some rain and cloudy skies, but it's beautiful. Spring is coming around the corner, and we're ready for that.
Oh, that's great.
Now, where are you at again? Where's?
I am in the southern end of Switzerland,
okay.
The Italian-speaking part. Southernmost valley. I'm in a teeny little valley. My town has 120 people.
Wow.
And luckily, I have an internet connection, and this is where I send my stuff from. I connect myself with the rest of the world from up here.
Ah, that's awesome.
Now,
we're honored.
Switzerland is legal. Cannabis is legal there.
Well, it's roughly 20 months ago. It was legalized for medical use. But it was a hush-hush situation. Nobody really knows about it. In the year 2000, there was a big movement. The law hasn't changed at all since then. In the year 2000, a bunch of dispensaries started popping up everywhere. They weren't really dispensaries. They were more like potpourri shops that popped up everywhere because a gentleman in the French part of Switzerland found a loophole in the law saying that you can grow cannabis, but you can't smoke it. So we had potpourri. There's over 150 shops in Switzerland that popped up over that 10-year period. And it was very nice. Lots of pleasant aromas all over Switzerland.
Wow.
And a lot of farmers were converting. They were going from growing tomatoes to growing cannabis for different reasons. But legally, you're not able to smoke it unless you have a prescription from a doctor.
Is that hard to obtain, the prescription?
I think it's not very easy. I think more than anything, people are still living in this taboo fear.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, it's ignorance that still overwhelms everybody. We're breaking grounds. I think all over the planet, things are changing, and people are becoming more knowledgeable and more aware of the benefits. And I think it's kind of losing its stigma, too. I think more as we go along, whoever grew up with growing pot, I mean smoking pot as in a hidden environment, I think the newer generations are much more open, and I think it'll just be a matter of time before it's just normal. Like most people out here smoke cigarettes and drink alcohol and for the recreational use. And then for the medicinal use, I think that's going to take over soon. I know there's a big lobby against it, especially in Switzerland. You know, the pharmaceutical companies are very strong out here. So it's not very convenient for them if we legalize it. You know, people will be growing their medicine for dirt cheap.
Yeah. Can I ask personally, do you have a prescription?
No, I don't. I had one in California. But I actually, I don't smoke. I did for many years, recreational use, but I just grew out of it for some reason. I have a sufficient amount of cannabinoids in my system where I'm naturally stoned.
I like that.
Naturally healthy.
That works.
Yeah. But it's been a few years now. But I'm very active, and I'm pro-cannabis. I think we need to heal this planet. There's a lot of misinformation out there. And so I've been doing my artwork and trying to get the message out there with, you know, minimal amount of words and more visually. And I think it's due to the fact that I live in a country where there's 4 national languages, so instead of, you know, elaborating in text, an image kind of goes across boundaries, language boundaries. So
that's true. And did you do all the artwork for your book?
Yes, I did. They're all my illustrations, and it's actually a collection. It's a collection of strips that I did for different magazines over. Since 2005, I guess it would be a 7-year period, roughly. I still have more, maybe eventually in the future. As soon as I get more, I'll make a Hempathy 2.
Nice.
What was one of my questions?
Yeah, we're excited. We'll just keep reading this one. It's just fine because people, you know, tune in at different times and they hear different
I just translated. It's now translated in Spanish and in Italian, and I will... I'm trying to get the German and the French version out, too. So we got to get the information out there.
That is so cool.
Ivan, when and how did Hempathy come about?
It came about probably about a year ago. I decided to put together all my strips. I had 20, 25 strips that I had done over the years. and I decided to piece them together in a book and do a little research and put some text into it with some statistics just to make it a little bit stronger. And I wanted to make something that I could take down to, you know, my local postman here or, you know, the local baker, and I can say, here, have a read, you know, and,
yeah.
and not feel threatened that it's a stoner magazine or, you know.
I love
but
it.
But something that has information.
How you didn't overdo it on the information, and it's really put in a really simple form for people to understand. And you go with the pictures, which makes it even better.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm glad that when I got your message, when I got you guys' email, I was actually honored. It's wonderful to get feedback, positive feedback like you guys did.
Oh, well.
I'm glad it's getting out there.
Oh, it is. We were hoping we weren't stepping on any toes by reading it, but we just loved it so much and thought other people should hear this great information. And we're excited for number two. We know that this was, what, 2010, you said? Is that what this is?
Actually, I published this last year, so it was 2012 in February. So it's about a year since it's been out. And it's self-published, and it's a collection. The first strips that I did were probably from 2005. Actually, the first strip was done in an Italian magazine, thanks to Dolce Vita magazine. It's an alternative lifestyle magazine out here. In Italy, and we started the idea of the why not, and eventually I met Marco Renda and from Treating Yourself magazine, and I started taking care of their layout, and I started inserting them in Treating Yourself magazine, and it just kind of went out all over that way. So I got the Italian part of the world, I got Spain Cana Habla in Spain also publishes it in their magazine, and then Treating Yourself covers North America. So, next I think South America. I have the Spanish version. We'll try and look for a distributor in South America and try and get some information out there. And I think South America is really making giant steps because it's already legal for recreational use also. In different parts of South America, so I think they're almost ahead of us when it comes
to
recreational use.
Hi, Evan. What is which why or why not is your favorite in your book?
Which why or why not?
that's a tough question. Actually, the latest one that I did, which is not in this book, is one that sticks to my mind, and it's the one that compares. It's in the last issue of Treating Yourself magazine. And it compares chemotherapy with natural therapy. Why radiation and all of that poison that you're fed into your body, and why not something more soft and more human?
Do you have that with you? Would you be willing to read that for us?
No, I don't have the statistics. I just have because all the strips start off with just a why not. And it's just two images, no text. And and that's how this empathy came about, is that I took each one of those strips and did research where I went in and found numbers and statistics to each one of them. So hopefully as soon as I get some time, I'm going to piece together a empathy too, and maybe a little while before I get that done. But I'll have those statistics done. But I think if we... if you ask me which is my favorite in this issue, I mean, in this edition, I would say one of my first ones that I did, and that's on page, let me take a look here. It's the simple, hold on.
We're getting there, too. We got our book.
Trying to find it here. And it's on page 28.
All right.
Why lethal chemical cocktails and why not a plant? And I think that sums it up pretty
quickly.
Would
you read that? Would you read that for our listeners?
Sure. Why lethal chemical cocktails? In the U.S. and Europe, regulators approve drugs whose long-term side effects are unknown. Often these drugs are withdrawn from the market after causing wide-scale harm. Doctors up the dosage when patients report their drugs are ineffective and prescribe cocktails, which are drug combinations whose effects are untested. Nearly 32,000 annual deaths in the U.S. alone are due to adverse effects of prescription drugs. Some 7,600 are due to steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs such as aspirin. Vioxx killed more Americans than the terrorists who flew airplanes into the World Trade Center on 9/11 by a factor of 19, according to the FDA official. Statistics prove prescription drugs are 16,400% more deadly than terrorists. And why not a plant? Therapeutic use of marijuana has a history spanning over 40,500 years. It is currently available in prescription in its whole plant form in the Netherlands, Canada, Spain, Italy, Israel, and in 18 U.S. states. There are presently four states pending legalization to legalize medical marijuana. Personal use in small quantities has been decriminalized in many South American countries, including Argentina, Ecuador, Peru, and Uruguay. In November 2012, the state of Colorado legalized the recreational use of cannabis. And here I probably have to update it because Washington also. Helping the sick requires that we maintain the availability of medical marijuana. Strong evidence supports its usefulness in treating appetite loss, glaucoma, nausea, vomiting, spasticity, pain, arthritis, insomnia, seizures, intestinal bowel disorders, Tourette syndrome, and many, many more medical conditions. Studies have shown the long-term use of cannabis to be safe, in contrast to many other medical drugs. The long-term use of cannabis does not harm stomach, liver, kidneys, and heart.
Yeah, amen. Why not?
So I think this basically sums it up. With everything that we have out there that's unknown, this is a substance that's been used and with man for, 10,000 years and actually used for medicine for almost 5,000 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, can't get any safer. You can't overdose. And that alone should make it, should make you think why in hell, why in heaven it's not,
why anywhere,
it's not legal,
Right. Yeah, amen. You know. I know there's so many statistics and scientific evidence for this, so much more than there isn't. It's pretty remarkable that we have the challenges we do. But with information like this and books like this, people like you that spread this incredible, information, it'll get changed. And I love what the back of the book says. It says, we need to publicize the findings in an unbiased way to the widest possible audience. And that's it.
Correct.
Unbiasedness.
Yeah, well, there's a situation in the U.S. that stifles medical marijuana research. So, basically, it's said that, let me see if I can find the quote here. Excuse me. The NIDA spokesperson, Shirley Simpson, told the Times, as the National Institute of Drug Abuse, our focus is primarily on the negative consequences of marijuana use. We generally do not fund research focused on the potential beneficial medical effects of marijuana. So that goes to tell you quite a bit on why we're not getting such good information.
That's huge, and that's horrible. They, they really do need to look at the findings of a whole, and people need to question that, if you're only getting one part of the fact.
Yeah, well, I always say that if logic's not being used, it's because somebody's filling their pockets with some money. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Exactly what's happening.
Somebody's benefiting from it, so.
Well, we thank you so much. This book has just really opened our eyes. I think, reading it the second time through, you always learn more, and it's just been wonderful, and our listeners have loved it, and we love it. We always describe the pictures the best we can.
Because the pictures are amazing.
And you should be getting five copies anytime soon. I just got a confirmation that they've been shipped. And it would be nice to have a contest and get some winners out there. So there's a new version. It's a revised version. slightly revised from the copy that you have. It's a little bit different, the copy, the cover. And some of the text has been updated. So
we have the antique.
Enjoy.
Classic. Yeah. Oh, we will. And we'll probably pull some facts out of your book for our contestants right now. I know we always run a little
Sounds
late.
Great.
We'll do it anyway. But thank you so much. It's been
You're welcome.
And a pleasure. And we hope to chat with you soon. And we look forward to Hempathy too.
Yes. Thank you
and
so
remember,
much.
And remember to check out why-whynot.net. And at the moment, there's a 25% sale on the book. So whoever's interested, I have a discount code that you can give to your listeners.
Ooh,
and that. If you guys are ready to write this one down,
okay.
When you guys order, it's 5LE8JNAH. And when you guys type that in, when you order the book, you'll get a 25% discount. So that
nice.
Helps. Every little bit helps.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome. That's a lot of it.
Yeah.
Well, and this book is great. They're gonna want to as soon as because we put your website online real quick already, and they're gonna want to check this out. They're
fantastic.
Worse.
You
yeah.
guys are great.
Oh, thank you.
I didn't know you guys existed, and now I've been. I've been illuminated.
Yeah. Oh,
that's
well,
very.
Thank you. Usual. Thank you. Have a great day.
You guys are doing a great job, and you guys have a fantastic evening, whatever. Or I'm evening. You guys
yeah, you have
late.
A great day.
Or yeah, morning.
We're waking up here trying.
And may the springtime bring lots of new wonderful plants to this planet.
Yeah, 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 amen to that. Thank you
thank
so
you,
much.
Ivan.
Take good care.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow.
That was so awesome. Wow, that
awesome.
Was perfect. And we are out of time, but you know what? The code was red. We're not going to read it on air again because that'll be one of our giveaway questions. If you remember this code, forget ordering online. If you're in Tucson, the first two people that come to us down to Tumbleweeds with this code, we're going to give a copy of each of that to them. So they didn't even have to order it. That's a giveaway. So now we're going to ask three questions from the book. Oh, here it is.
like where's
the
book?
No.
And
they
even had
questions.
Ivan read our Hempathy for today.
I know. How awesome was that?
That was really
Audio,
freaking awesome.
MP3 online. All right. Well, so from his favorite page, what he just read, and you can find this online. So if you come down to Tumbleweeds and tell us the answer, it says, and this is a little debated, but it says, therapeutic use of marijuana has a history spanning over blank number of years.
Ivan even talked about it on air, so also
yep.
remember that.
He gave a different quote, but in his book, what we're looking for, on one of his two favorite pages, he has the very first sentence, therapeutic use of marijuana has a history spanning over how many years? That's another question. So we better write these down so that we know what we're answering, right? Oh
what
my
were
gosh.
You talking about?
An apple. Okay, so that's one. And then, let's see, we'll find another one. How many?
Blank annual deaths in the United States are due to adverse effects of prescription drugs.
And this is a big number. It's probably
this is a really big number. It says nearly blank annual deaths in the United States alone are due to adverse effects of prescription drugs.
Okay. So one more question from the book. This last one's crazy. Statistics prove prescription drugs are blank percent more deadly than terrorists. This is a huge percentage.
The statistics prove prescription drugs are blank percent more deadly than terrorists. Now, Ivan also talked about how there's been more people killed by prescription drugs than the people that were killed in the 9/11 terrorist attacks. So if that says anything about what our country is doing to, you know, people that are taking prescriptions, the number
yeah.
here is it's atrocious.
It is atrocious. And we're going to pick Two trivia questions real quickly here.
Boy, Bill, you're going to give away the whole thing today, aren't you?
Hey, it's a year anniversary. If you're here, man, you got it. And let's see, are there any local bloggers? I don't know. But we'll pick, I'm going to pick one. The kid's going to pick one. So
pick the first question
that comes out. This is great. This is perfect. The organization, this is to win it. You have to be a patient. And this is for a joint. We're going to give two of these away. So here's the first question. The organization Normal, N-O-R-M-L, was founded in what year? 1965, 1970, 1972, or 1983? Okay, the organization Normal was founded in what year? Your choices are 1965, 1970, 1972, or 1983. Okay, next question.
All right, my question. What is the rapper... Wait. What is the name of the lead rapper in the group Cypress Hill?
Holy. She got me.
What is the name of the lead rapper in the group Cypress Hill? Now, they're the ones that always talk about smoking cannabis, more like smoking pot, weed.
That kind of stuff.
That kind of stuff. Recreational purpose, but hey, it still has to do with...
purpose.
We're all out there to legalize it, get it legalized for medicational purposes. Let's fight until the plant is legal.
Yeah.
Keep on destigmatizing with your friends, your family. Keep talking about it. Let people know. Come out of the cannabis closet.
Yes, come out. Come out wherever you are.
So, really quick, I know we're wrapping things up.
And we're going to play a song at the end anyway because I love this song. You know, guys, I can't help playing.
AZ Normal Meeting is this Saturday at 3 p.m. at Ward 6 Council Offices at 3202 East 1st Street, Tucson. Free and open to the public. They're going to be the Sensible Marijuana Reform here in Tucson. That is Saturday, March 9th at 3 p.m. at Ward 6 Council Office. I was talking to John Gilletta, and he is actually going to send out a Facebook invite because I was talking to him about that. And we're really going to start getting more people out there and on board with AZ Normal Meetings, because that's one way that you can actually start going out and helping turn over the legislation and helping out.
Whether or not you want to use cannabis or whether or not you're patient. You can support it.
Support it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Help destigmatize it.
That's right.
You can join Tumbleweeds Health Center on March 22nd through the 24th at the 4th Avenue Street Spring Street Fair. And they will be located inside the Flux Studios, which is on 414 East 9th Street. And that place said 4th Avenue Street Fair, March 22nd. They'll be down there doing giveaways, selling some product, getting you guys information out to the community.
Telling you how to get certified.
Yep.
All that good stuff.
Making appointments. So come on down, visit the girls and the volunteers of Tumbleweeds Health Center.
Yeah. Medical Cannabis Festival of Education is coming up Saturday, April 20th. I believe it's 10 a.m. till the bands go home. This will be a educational-focused event with... lots of organizations that support the cause and share the education. We'll have bands, raffles, prizes, giveaways, and all sorts of fun stuff. Come talk to the people in our community.
Belle and the kid will be there.
Belle and the kid will be there, absolutely.
We're doing some autograph signing.
Maybe. Fancy.
Our 8x10 glossies.
That's right. I think they're coming this week. We'll get them this week. The big cheesy Olin Mill photos.
Olin Mill.
Hey, nothing wrong.
I'm
gonna
put my hand under my chin.
Oh yeah, I can do the real estate pose.
Ooh, the real estate pose is a good one. I want to do
arms crossed.
Let's do the real estate pose.
We could go like sideways hat. You know, come on, be real.
No, remember what Robert Platschorn said. We need to start keeping it.
Oh,
real.
Be serious.
Be serious.
Look
this
out.
Is serious.
Suit and tie for everyone. Thank you, bloggers around the world. That's been awesome. This has been an incredible year.
Yeah.
Totally.
Full of information, education, and so much more fun.
We would like to thank everyone for making this an awesome year.
We had 23,000 plus listeners
so
and
far.
Bloggers make our show worth working so hard for.
Yeah, every week. This is just awesome. And now we're doing the morning edition, so we're busting into your mornings, and we hope you're not feeling
like a super sativa.
That's right. Woo, waking you up or startling you or something.
Bell Star and the Cannabis Kid and your morning cup of joe.
That's right. You can't.
Or your morning joint or whatever you're doing in the morning.
Eat it.
We would like to thank Blog Talk Radio for hosting such a dependable radio show, Growers House, AZ Med Testing, Mary Jane Survival Guide, for doing what they do to educate the great citizens of Arizona
and
the world at large.
That's right.
We'd like to at Tumbleweeds Health Center for allowing us to use their beautiful facility here. It's such a comfortable thing to come in here in the morning.
It's a cozy place. Come get certified here. Come get educated here. Come get medicated here.
The doctors here are great and supportive. So
two wonderful doctors, Dr. Julie, Dr. Jasmine, come see them. I feel like I'm forgetting something, but we are going to play my favorite,
little
ditty here at the end, Pot Shop. We'll end it off with that, Steve Burke.
Now, I won't be here next week, and I think our lovely Lady Luck will be here, and I will actually be in her favorite town, which is Vegas.
Oh, man.
And
he's not taking me with. Did you guys hear this?
What happens in Vegas?
I'm going to try to find out some dispensaries there, but I have a thing that I need to figure out how to do that. So,
We'll figure it out.
We expect a full report when you come back.
Or call in.
So stay tuned in the coming weeks. We're going to be talking a lot about hemp and always continuing with the news. And maybe we'll get some strain reviews and product reviews because we've definitely had a lot of time to check some products out in this last year. We should start talking about. We still have more of the Mary Jane Survival Guide to do. We're not done. And the sixth one's coming out. So in the meantime, remember. Hold on to your hands, kids. Be smart.
Be safe.
And educate.
Good night.
Good morning. Good something.
Have a great day.
My house, like, what up? I got some good pot. I'm just pumped up, got some herb from the pot shop. Ice in my fridge, it used to be frosty. My friend's like, damn, that's a stoned ass donkey. Rolling in hella high, looking like it's pizza time. Dominating all my friends as I eat some chili fries. Draped in a Snuggie with my girl sitting next to me. Probably shouldn't have had a big gulp full of iced tea. But shit, it was 99 cents. I'll be blazing and smoking it. About to go and get some munchies next. Passing up on those Cracker Jacks. Reese's Pieces are where it's at. Gotta get me some soda pop. Cottonmouth has been creeping up. But can't remember where I put my keys. Yeah, that's what's up. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. No, for real. Ask your grandpa. Can I take a 65? Deville cruising to my local Publix. Nothing better than rolling with two super fly chicks. They have frozen burritos. I bought frozen burritos. I bought some Ben and Jerry's. And then I bought some Cheetos. Hello, hello, my main man Obama. A couple states have just reformed their laws on marijuana. What you gonna do, send the feds there? Hell no, the DEAs would be like, aw, they got volcanoes.
I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunting, looking for a pot shop, this is fucking
know about the science of marijuana. What you know about people suffering from glaucoma? They need it, they need it, it helps them with their condition. If you don't believe me, then just ask some eye physicians. Thank your granddad for voting for that guy Richard Nixon is the president who made the plant illegal, but science is now showing that it's medicine for people, and the private sector fighting to keep all of that illegal. Alcohol and tobacco, pharmaceutical prisons. I take those four major lobby groups and fight those motherfuckers. They're making money day and night, all those motherfuckers, and bribing Congress out of sight, all those motherfuckers. They'd be like, oh, it's immoral and unhealthy. I'm like, how many people are you making wealth? Anti-marijuana lobbies are making all kinds of profits, and they don't want you to stop it because of all the special interests. I call that getting swindled and pimped shit. I call that getting tricked by the government. That law's hella old, so it's time to update it, regulate it, and then get it under state control. Peak game, look into my political telescope. Think it's gonna stay like this forever? Not hella won't.
not, hella won't.
Hey Obama, stop being a hypocrite. You used to smoke weed, fool.
I'm gonna smoke some weed. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunt, looking for a pot shop. This is fucking awesome.
Let's end the war on drugs. It's time to pull the plug. These special interest groups are nothing more than corporate thugs. Let's end the war on weed. The people have agreed. These special interest groups.